John chapter 15 is where we will begin today, and over the past several weeks we have been looking at the great I Am's of Jesus Christ, different things that he was recorded saying in the book of John, the Gospel of John, declaring himself to be God, explaining himself in terms that we could understand, that we understand these things that they can't really be taken another way, that he's declaring himself to be God come in the flesh, that we can't just try to say, well, he was confused or anything like that. He's making a clear explanation of who he is, bringing it down into terms that we as finite human beings can understand. And we see this again in John chapter 15, and this is, of course, after the Lord's Supper. He's soon going to be on his way to the cross to die for our sins. He is on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And he's trying to fit in as much teaching to the disciples before he goes, so that they will be prepared to serve him afterwards. So let's begin John chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1. Lord Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. We just pray you would help us to understand this passage fully. Help us to realize how much we depend upon you, Lord. And help us to remain close to you, Lord, and abiding in you, that you may be glorified by our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see from the beginning, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman, that we recognize the wisdom and sovereignty of God the Father, that Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and he's the one that's in control of it all. And it's interesting when we think of it that he refers to our Heavenly Father as the husbandman, that we think of the pattern that the Lord lays down in that sense, that he guides, he directs, he provides everything that we need so that we can flourish and grow and develop as we should, that he is the husbandman, that he, if there's things that are there that shouldn't be, that he prunes them back, that it's according to his plan, according to his purposes. And it's interesting, just from the beginning of creation, we understand how God left the pattern for himself that we as men are to follow. And you think of it, that the leader of the home is to be, what is it called, the husband. That it's the same sense, that the husband is there to nurture, to nourish his wife, to nurture his children, that's his purpose. And he is really to be, if he's doing what he should do as the head of the household, that he should be a reflection of who God the Heavenly Father is. And of course we recognize, I know even in myself, that I don't always give as good of a reflection as I ought to. But we understand that God the Father fulfills this idea of being a husbandman. And he has a purpose for us, that he has planted us in a certain place for a reason, and it's to bear fruit. And of course, we understand the fruit to be, for one, the fruit of the Spirit, aspects of our character that we demonstrate God living in and through us, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all these different things that we manifest as God is living his life through us, these fruit that we produce. And we also understand fruitfulness in the terms of the blessing that we can be to others, that we make a difference in other people's lives, whether it's to guide them and encourage them so that they will do right, so that they'll stay on the right path, so that they'll serve the Lord, or someone that's lost, that we can share the gospel with them that they might be saved. And so the Lord wants us to produce fruit. And the more fruit that we produce, the better it is. That's what He desires. And it's that we understand that as well. I know we planted some strawberries this year, and when I came home, there was three little strawberries on the strawberry, one of the strawberry plants. And it's such a fun thing to actually have production. But you don't want to stop with just three strawberries, because I was able to give kind of one to each of the kids, and they're like, well, we want more. And it's like, well, there's not any more yet. And so you want to produce fruit. And it's something that we, I think, as Christians, our tendency is we tend to want a plateau. We think, well, I'm doing pretty well. I'm producing enough fruit. I'm not having as much trouble in my life as I once did, because I'm not doing things that are foolish. I'm thinking better. But we realize God wants to push us up to the next level. He wants to make us even more fruitful than we are already. And He will do what is necessary to make us fruitful. And we see that it says, every branch that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that may bring forth more fruit. And if you've ever pruned any kind of fruit tree, you'll find that one thing you have to always keep an eye on is what are called suckers or water sprouts. That they're these branches that come out, and they basically go straight up, and they get nice and tall, and they look so healthy, but they never produce any fruit. And all they call them suckers, because all they do is they suck the water that would go to the fruit-producing branches, and they just suck it, and they don't produce anything. And so it's something that you cut back. And so we see that in that sense. But He says, every branch that is bearing fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And you can see that if you've ever pruned a tree, that as you're pruning, you'll find that often you have to kind of teach the branch where you want to go. That if you let the tree just go by itself, all the branches will kind of get twisted together and rubbing against each other, making each other weak. And you have to kind of decide, well, I want you to go this way and you to go that way. And you guide the tree in that sense. And that's what the Lord does with us, that He wants us to produce more fruit. He sees things coming up, the directions that we're going, He kind of cuts that back. He says, no, I want you to go more in this direction. And sometimes we don't like the purging part, the pruning, that we think this is something important to me, and He cut it right off. He doesn't want me to go after that at all. And we say, well, why'd you do that? And He says, well, because I want you to produce more fruit. I have a plan for your life. And we don't always understand it to start with, but we realize that He knows what He's doing. It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That He wants, He's working things out for good, He's conforming us to the image of His Son. And for some it might be a different way that He has to get them to that point. They start out from a different kind of perspective, and He has to bring them a certain way, but He knows what He's doing. And it's that thought that when we're saved, that we realize that we don't really deserve to be part of the vine, but He's grafted us in, and that we're there, and His life now flows through us because of the Lord. And He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And that's the thought, that the word cleanses us. As we hear the word, as we do what it says, we obey it. We're cleansed. We're purified. He purges us that with us. And that's as we read the word, as we study it each day, and the Lord shows us something in our lives that shouldn't be there, that He wants to purge out, that we need to accept that, we need to obey Him, and sometimes we don't, and He has to chasten us and purge us out the hard way. But we realize that He's working with us. He's producing something in us. And we need to allow Him to do so. But we see that Jesus refers to Himself as the true vine. And we understand that the vine is a source of life, the source of fruitfulness. You look at any tree or any kind of plant. I know the kids were helping me weed a little bit before we left, and Caleb, of course, he was right in there, but he was starting to pull off the leaves of the potato plant because he didn't know any better. And of course, when the leaf is separated, it just dies. It has no life in and of itself. And we understand that there has to be that connection. And the stronger the connection, the more the life can flow through, and the more fruitful it can become. Brother Wayne, he had a tree in his yard where one of the branches kind of broke off, and there still was a connection there, and so it didn't completely die, but you know that it's not going to be as fruitful, as bountiful as it could be. And that's what we find. Sometimes we can be connected just slightly, but if we were connected more fully, how much more fruitful we could become. And that's the thought that the Lord, He says, I want you to abide in Me and I in you. That He wants us to have closeness. The idea of abiding is to take residence within, to be firmly rooted. And that's what we want to understand, that we want to be firmly rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ in our Christian life. That it speaks in, this is in Colossians chapter 2. It says, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That He is the source of our life, the source of our fruitfulness. We have to be rooted in Him. And it's a thought, the bigger the roots, the harder it is to be pulled out. That we want to be tied into Him very closely, very firmly. We see this also in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that thought that we want to be rooted and grounded, that God is love, we want to be rooted in that, that He loved us, that we are to love Him, we are to love one another. And so we recognize that we need to abide in Him. The more we abide in Him, it says, He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And that's what we want in our lives. We want to be fruitful. We want to have a life where we're blessing other people, where we can see that we make a difference. That the people that we are friends, that they're helped along in their walk with the Lord because of our lives, because of the life that we're living through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see people that we know that don't know the Lord as Savior, that we're able to witness to them and see them come to the saving knowledge of the Lord. That's what we want to have in our lives. And we realize that He says there that without Me ye can do nothing. That we need to have a closeness to the Lord and realize that as soon as we get separated from Him, something's wrong. We need to be sensitive to that. I remember with my uncles, they had a dairy barn, and whenever they went to milk the cows, they have the milking machine underneath the cow, and when it was connected properly, everything was fine. The milk was flowing just fine, but then you could always tell right away if it became disconnected, because you'd hear this kind of sucking sound and you'd have to run over and put it back in and make sure that it was connected again to the udder so that the milk would flow. And it's kind of the same thing that the Lord wants us connected in that way, so that we're receiving this life from Him, this the power that we need to live the Christian life, and we need to have that sensitivity, that we realize that if that connection is broken, we need to reestablish it. We need to get back where we should be in our relationship with Him. Because it says, without me, ye can do nothing. And we need to really understand that we understand it from the beginning of our salvation, that we know that in order to be saved, that we can't do it in our own strength, that we rely totally on what Jesus Christ has done. That it's not our righteousness, not the good things that we've done that add to what Jesus has done. It is on Him alone. Excuse me. And we want to understand that, as it said in Colossians, as we have received Christ Jesus, so we walk in Him. That we realize just as our salvation was all of Him, that we realize our Christian life is all of Him as well. That anything that we seek to do, any blessing that we want to be to other people, we realize that without Him, we can do nothing. We can't be faithful and someone that people can count on. We can't be a good spouse, a good parent, a good employee or employer. We can't be a good citizen or a good testimony for the Lord if we're not tied in to the Lord Jesus Christ. That we need to realize how reliant, how dependent we are upon Him. That we can't take a minute separate from and think that we're going to accomplish something. And I've found in my own life and that sometimes we get operating in the flesh, that we get doing things without Him and we think we can do it in our own strength, in our own power. We're thinking we're making a great difference, and we can say that. Well, it must not be true. It says, without me, He can do nothing. I can do a whole lot of things on my own, in my own strength. But we want to realize that in God's eyes, all those things that we do, if it's in our flesh, if it's in our own strength, God says it's nothing. It doesn't count. It's not going to be pleasing to me. It's not going to count for eternity. We think of the testimony in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it speaks of how that it says, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For the foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And it's the thought that when we're abiding in Him, when He's empowering us, giving us life and strength and grace for each day, then we build upon this foundation. Gold, silver, precious stones, things that will last, things that will count, things that will make a difference for eternity. But if we're doing it in our own strength, even though we can build it so large and so huge, if He's not in it, then it's burnt up. It doesn't count. We suffer loss. And that's the thought that we have, that we want Him to be a part of it, because if He's not, it's not going to count. It says in the Psalms, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord watch a city, the watchman laboreth, but in vain. That we're absolutely dependent upon Him for strength, for everything that we need in life. And it's something that we see, this is the negative where it says, for without me you can do nothing. But then we read in Philippians the positive, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that is the blessing, the other side of the coin, that when we have Jesus, there is such a great many things that we might have thought that it would never be possible for me to do. Yet the Lord gives me the strength so that I can do it. To be able to talk with people about the Lord, to be able to be used of the Lord at all, that it's something that is an amazing thing, that the Lord can empower us beyond what we ever imagined. I know one pastor who's preaching. He's been a pastor for probably 25, 30 years in Spokane, Washington. And growing up, he always had a terrible speech impediment. He'd always just stumble over his words, and even sometimes when he's preaching, you can kind of see he catches himself, and he has to sort of, he'll start saying something, and then he'll have to try to say something else, sort of like the old thing with Porky Pig. But he kind of thought, well, how could the Lord ever use him? But yet the Lord's been using him for years and making a great difference. That the Lord, somehow when he preaches, just kind of makes it so that he can talk and enables it so that it comes out so that people can hear it. And the Lord can do that. He can give us strength far beyond what we ever expect. And it is an exciting thing to see that we sometimes limit ourselves by what we feel are our abilities, what we think is possible, but yet the Lord wants to show us, well, I can make you even more fruitful than you can ever imagine. And we see in Colossians 1 and verse 27, that it's interesting, it says, speaks of this mystery that has been hid from ages, but now is made manifest to his saints. Verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That thought, because we are saved, because we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us, that is our hope of glory, that He has called us to glory and virtue. He has called us to do great things for Him, and that He, of course, will get the glory. But if we abide in Him, we will be able to have a part in this. And we want to realize that we will miss out on great blessings if we don't remain with Him, that we don't remain close to Him. And we want to understand that what it's speaking of in abiding in the vine, abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's not speaking of our salvation. It's not speaking that, well, if we don't abide in Him, that we're somehow kicked out of the boat, we're not children of God anymore. It's speaking of our service, of our fellowship with the Lord, our usefulness with Him. That if we don't abide in Him, that we wither and we struggle in life and things just aren't going the way they should be. But then when we get tapped into the vine once again, then we can be what the Lord would have us to be. That our relationship with the Lord can never be broken. That once we are saved, that He gives us eternal life and we can never be plucked from His hand. But we realize that our fellowship can be broken if we're not walking with Him. We see this in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the thought that we have as He wrote these things, that we might have fellowship with one another, we might have fellowship with the Lord, and we understand that God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. That He wants to direct us, and our choice in life, in abiding with Him, is to stay with the light or turn to the darkness. And we understand that the light reveals our sin, the light reveals where we don't measure up to God's standard. And sometimes, of course, the light reveals things we'd rather not have revealed, and we want to just kind of say, well, no, just kind of forget about that. We want to turn to the darkness again and not deal with that. And when that happens, we break fellowship with the Lord. We turn from the light unto the darkness. We're not abiding in Him. And we find that our Christian life starts to wither, that it isn't the way that it should be. And so it is the idea that we need to maintain that fellowship with the Lord, of abiding with Christ. Someone has defined fellowship is the idea of a whole bunch of people in a boat and everyone's rowing in the same direction. And then that's kind of the thought, that the Lord is command of the ship, that He wants us to go in a certain way, but yet we've got the oars out sometimes and we're wanting to fight against the way that He's going. And that's not what we want to do at all. So we want to continue in His Word. We want to follow Him. In John 15 and verse 7 it says, "If ye abide in Me and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Here is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be My disciples. As the Father has loved Me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in My love. If ye keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is My commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are My friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And so the idea of abiding in Him is following what His Word says, doing what He asks us to do, keeping His commandments. That He wants us to have fellowship with Him. He wants our joy to be full. He wants our lives to be very fruitful and abounding in fruitfulness for the Lord. That involves following Him. That we are His friends. That we do what He asks us to do. That we love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. And it's a thought that we continue in our Word and follow Him. And it's sometimes I think the mindset that we have each day when we spend some time in prayer, that we're enjoying a closeness with the Lord. We've confessed our sins. We've gotten things right between Him and us. There's nothing between us, we feel. And we have that closeness. But then, of course, the day starts and we have to get into everything that's going on in the world today. And sometimes we almost have this feeling, well, I've had this time with Him, but now I have to go and I have to leave Him behind. And He's kind of actually, we think, well, He's left us behind and we have to face the day alone, and the day doesn't go very well. We struggle and we sort of think, well, boy, I sure wish that that time with Him would have continued throughout the day. But I think it's not an aspect in our prayer life where He leaves us behind, but I think if anything, it can be that we leave Him behind, that we're off to do our own thing, we expect Him to bless it, and we're not having that reliance upon Him, that we realize everything that I have to do today, I can't do it without Him. I need Him. And we want to realize that our relationship with God is moving. It's not static. That it's the idea that we draw nigh to Him, that we get close to Him, that we're following Him. And then He says, okay, now follow Me one step forward. I want you to go in this direction. Come with Me. And that's what He says to His disciples again and again, to follow Him. And so if we're going to abide in Him, isn't that thought that we're just staying in one place and just doing nothing really? It's the thought, no, that He's saying, okay, I want you to abide with Me. I want to make you fruitful. I want to bless your life. So step forward in this direction. And if we step with Him, we're abiding with Him, He's empowering us, and we are blessed, we are fruitful. As we continue to have that relationship, we seek His will, we seek that closeness with Him, understanding of what He wants us to do, that conversation with Him, we're abiding in Him, and that our steps go day by day, that He says, this is the way, walk ye in it, that we are blessed, we are fruitful. If we refuse, we won't be abiding in Him and we will not be fruitful. And we realize that if we abide in Him, we can do all these things in our lives. And someone has said that God's commands are His enablings. When He asks us to do something and we do it, we step forward by faith and we don't hold back, we enjoy His blessings. And when we're following Him, sometimes our tendency is just as with, I know with my kids, we were going through a mall the other day and I said, well, kind of follow me. And of course, Garrison, there is this kind of display. It was this sort of an oil derrick kind of thing inside the mall. It looked kind of neat. And so he was following me, but he was kind of getting further and further apart from me. because he was still looking at the thing behind, and that's kind of how our Christian life sometimes is. We're still following the Lord, but we're drifting further and further from Him. And we want to be as the psalmist says in Psalm 63, verse 8, "My soul followeth hard after Thee." That we want to be right on His heels. We want to be right behind Him. And we want to recognize anything that holds us back needs to be cast aside. We think of Paul's testimony in Philippians chapter 3 of how he had many things to trust in for his righteousness, but he counted them as nothing that he might win Christ, that he wanted to draw close unto Him. It says, verse 10, "that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." That he wanted to draw close to the Lord. We see in verse 13 it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That we draw close unto Him, that we have this fullness of God's Spirit within us, that He empowers us, that we get to enjoy all of the blessings that He has for us, that we're as fruitful as we can be, that we would abide in Him. I want to close with just one verse. This is in the first epistle of John, chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, and it says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." And that's the idea, that the only true way of that we can guarantee our fruitfulness in our Christian life, the only way that we can be guaranteed that when we come before Him that He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," is if we abide in Him, if we're close to Him. It's not going to be a question that we think, well, am I going to pass His judgment or not? If we're abiding in Him, we know that we'll be pleasing Him. That it won't be something where we come to the Lord and we'll say, "Well, look at all I did for you." And it's just that wood, hay, and stubble that's burnt up. We find it to be nothing. If we're abiding in Him, we can come before Him and say, "Well, look at all You did through me. Look at all that we did together. As I abided in You, that You empowered me, that I know it wasn't me that did it, but You did it, and You brought glory to Yourself," that we honor Him. And so may the Lord help us, that we understand what He's trying to teach us in John chapter 15 of being the vine, that we must be connected with Him throughout the day. We must have that closeness on our relationship with Him. Anything that gets in the way, we need to cast aside. We need to allow our Heavenly Father to prune it away so that we could become as fruitful as possible and bring as much glory to the Lord as we can. That He works in us and makes us fruitful and a blessing to all those around us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for all You have done for us, Lord. We thank You for Your Son and all that He gives to us, Lord, not just salvation from the penalty of our sin, but Lord, strength and blessing and abundant life through each day that we can have through Him because of what He has done on the cross. Lord, we just pray You would help us not to get distracted. Help us to be closely bonded to You, Lord, and to abide in You so that You may bring much fruitfulness into our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, well, let's stand and we'll turn to number 318 and sing "I Need Thee Every Hour," hymn 318.